It is the season. It is the season of love. Somebody said it. It is a season of love. Why is it that whenever we think about Christmas, we always think about the season of love? They say that if it's not Christmas time and you are singing jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the, or the first snow, they say that you are in, somebody said it, don't be afraid, they say that when you sing Christmas songs and it's not Christmas time, that you must be in love. You must be in love. I was in love once. Yes, I was. I remember it. It lasted from all of elementary school. And her name was Alexandra Joy Antonopoulos. And she was born on March 5th, 19, and I won't say anymore. Alex. I loved Alex because as a third grader, I knew what love was. I knew exactly what love was. I didn't look in a dictionary. I didn't need to because I had it in here. It was part of me. I knew it. The moment, you have to understand something about Alex. She comes from Greek descent. And so the moment that I would always get early to the bus stop, and I would always get onto the bus, and I want to be the first one on the bus because I had a special seat that it was the perfect seat for when we got to Alex's bus stop, and then when that bus driver opened up the door, and then all of a sudden Alex's hair did something like, and then everything was just slow motion, and Alex walked up in the bus, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, I was experiencing love. I mean, it was this Greek goddess that was walking into the bus, and I was doing all in my power to let her know, please just sit next to me. Why? Because I love you. And I would go through all of my elementary life trying to express to Alex how much I loved her, because I did, because I knew what love was. Every time the holidays would roll around, especially Christmas, everybody's always giving gifts, and everybody is always just trying to do little things here and there for the other person, and I always utilize the holidays as a moment to just do a little extra to let Alex know how much, what that feeling was that I felt in this part of my body, and it looked like this, and it just kept throbbing every single time that I saw her face, and every time I was sitting in class, and as the teacher was talking, you may see me paying attention, but I'm not paying attention to the teacher. I am paying attention to Alex, who is sitting right there. She's not there right now, but I could just imagine that she was sitting right there, and I wouldn't drool. I was more tactful than that, but I would write notes. I would write little notes, and I'd put these notes on little gifts that I would have for her, and I would collect all these gifts, and when Christmas time came, I would give her all of these gifts, and it would be the most beautiful thing ever. You would say, oh, how adorable. You would say, oh, wow, he really loves her so much. But all of my friends, for some reason, didn't understand this feeling. And to them, it was something that was comical, something that wasn't really genuine. And so as I would do these little things that I thought were the best thing for Alex, she would accept them, and she would get a little bit shy, embarrassed, and then all my friends would laugh, and I'm trying to figure out, why doesn't anybody understand this feeling that I had? I was in fourth grade, and I knew what love was. I was in fifth grade, and I knew what love was. Let me tell you love in fifth grade. Love in fifth grade went a little bit like this. Of course, I would do the routine come Christmas time, and then a few months after Christmas, is what? Valentine's. Valentine's. And so there's a season of love, and then there is a day of love. And I expressed during the entire Christmas season how much I loved Alex. And she knew, everybody knew, it was written on my backpack, on my green backpack. It said, Ray Hart Alex. And I was proud of my backpack, and I went everywhere with my backpack. And everybody who knew me knew if there was one thing about Ray, he loved Alex. Valentine's Day came. And this was my moment of glory, my moment of truth. This is what I was going to do. I was going to get a card, the most beautiful card, and I would give it to Alex to show her how much I love her, to show her how much I just wanted to be with her and spend time with her. And I got the card, and I signed it, and I put my little drawings in there because my drawings were the coolest things on planet Earth. And she needed to experience them as well. And I gave it to her in an envelope, and I was very proud of myself. I walked up to her, and I said, because this is how my voice sounded in fifth grade, Alex, this card is for you. And I'm giving this card to you to express to you how much I love you. And Alex took the card, and to my utter surprise and my amazement, I received something back from Alex. It was a card. Now, you must understand that I did not ever, before this point, receive anything from Alex except a chuckle here, a running away, or Ray, could you please just stop? You're embarrassing me. But all of those, it would happen in time. I knew. And the moment came. How did I know it came? Because inside, this little organ right here was throbbing so hard. It was, I was experiencing love. And the reciprocation of love. Somebody understood how much I loved them. And when I got my card, I was so proud. I was so happy. And I stood up. I didn't even pre-read the card. Always pre-read your cards before you read it in public. I stood up in the middle of class and I said, Miss Grace, you have to hold on. We can do multiplication later, but right now we are adding, and we are adding 1 + 1, and it is becoming 2, and I must tell you what Alex wrote to me. Ray, you smell like goat cheese. At that moment, what I thought was love was not really love. Because I had this feeling towards her, and I thought that this feeling was going to be reciprocated. I thought the reason she was giving me the card was because she felt the same way. Little did I know that that wasn't the case. The Bible tells us very clearly what love is. If you would turn with me to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 8. It says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is... going to read that again, and when I ask at the end, I want the response to be something that you actually believe. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Well, Brother Ray, what on earth does that mean, that God is love? Are you saying that God loves? Yes, God does love, but God is love. Well, okay. Are you saying that God has love? Yes, God has love. But the Bible says that God is love. Well, now my mind is going all crazy and haywire. I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean God is love? We know that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, there's three for a reason. The reason there is three is because you can't have a relationship with yourself. You can, but people will look at you funny. And it will be a little bit awkward because it is somewhat hard for me to say over here and say, Mr. Ray, you are in a loving relationship with yourself. And then people will look at me like I have lost my mind. People will look at me as though I don't know what I'm talking about. And people will probably say, he probably doesn't know what it means to love. Because you can't be in a loving relationship with yourself. You're in a loving relationship with at least one other person. In this case, there's three. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Spirit. Now, when it says that God is love, it's because that this entity, this single entity of three that we call the Trinity, this single entity is love. The very essence of them is love. Everything that is done through them is because of love. Because they are love. And if you take love out of the picture, then all of a sudden, you may say God with a lowercase g, but you're not talking about my God, because my God cannot exist without love, because my God is love. And so that would be like telling me, Mr. Ray, try and exist not being Mr. Ray. I would tell you that you're crazy, because it's impossible for me not to be Mr. Ray, because I am Mr. Ray. And the very moment that I stop becoming Mr. Ray, I'm not Mr. Ray. The very moment that you take love out of God, then you're not talking about God. You're talking about something else. I'm not sure what you're talking about, but you cannot separate love from God. Imagine yourself walking down the road. You're walking down the road, and you see, and you hear a couple talking to themselves, and the man says to his wife, oh, we should get this. And they're going into the department store. Oh, we should get this. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. This is going to be great. We could paint the room this way. We can buy these little things. Oh, these are really cute. And so you're kind of curious what they're talking about. And so you go up to them and you engage in conversation, and you realize that they are just very excited. They're very excited, and you kind of want to know what they're excited about. And so it's a pleasant situation, and they tell you that that we are making this nursery, that we are painting the room a certain color, that we're buying cribs, and that we're getting all these plush little cute animal toys and stuff like that, and buying all of these toys. And what would be your first thought? Somebody said it. I heard it. You said it. Don't be afraid. They're having a baby. That would be your first thought. That the reason that they're setting up this nursery is because they're having a baby. In Genesis 1, we have the story of creation. And let me present it to you like this. God said, let there be light. After that, he decided that he was going to take this desolate rock and make something beautiful from it. He was going to paint the sky. Oh, let's create a sky. And then let us let us, the three of us who are one in love, let us create living things to fill the sky and then living things to fill the water and to fill the earth. Let us create something marvelous and beautiful. Why would they do this? Similar to the nursery example, you would think that something special is coming to inhabit that place. Now, what if you were talking with the couple and you said, oh, well, when is your baby due? And your couple and the couple that you're talking to said, say what? A baby? Who said anything about a baby? We just want to create a nursery because we think, what would you think then? You would think that they're a little bit crazy because who in their right mind would create a nursery if they weren't already expecting something special to come? Who would do that? Nobody would because it's nonsensical. Why would God create creation if he wasn't expecting something special to come? It was going to be the highlight of it all. Everything was set beautifully. Everything was set in place for this moment. And so God, it says in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, then God said, let us, there's this loving relationship here, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the wild animals on earth. So God created human beings in his own image. We were the baby, the precious. He loved us and he created us because he loved us. He had love. He was love. And when you have love, you want nothing more than to share love. To share love with beings, with people who could reciprocate that love. Now, when I loved Alex, I loved her with all of my heart. But what did that love mean if Alex did not reciprocate that love to me? If I were to say, Mr. Mic Stand, I love you. Does this mic stand have the capacity to love me back? No, it doesn't. Because it doesn't have the same feelings. It can't feel like I feel. It can't think like I think. And so for God to express how much he loved, he had to create something that loved like him. Hence the reason he didn't stop at birds. Hence the reason he didn't stop at giraffes or kangaroos or apes or little tiny monkeys, even though they're really cute and you think that they love you, or little tiny dogs that are the cutest. I told a story about a dog the other day in Pathfinder. Anyway, he didn't stop there. He created a being specially designed to love in the same manner that God loves, so that we could experience what true love is. What happened? Well, sin happened. And for us to actually experience what true love is, we have to also have a freedom of choice. Because without that freedom of choice, then God could say, you shall love me. And then we would automatically love God, but it wouldn't be a genuine love. And God is a genuine God, and he really wants to be loved as he really does love. And so the way to truly love is if the other person wanted to love you back. Would it mean anything to me if I forced Alex to love me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It wouldn't mean anything to me. Alex had to choose to love me on her own for me to get that same feeling that I felt towards her. so that God can have the same feeling that he feels, so that God can experience that same feeling of love when it's been given to him, he has to create a being who can freely give that love. Sin entered the world, and did God's love change? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And one might think, well, I mean, I'm not good enough. I try to love and it doesn't work out. Or there's things that happen that gets us to think differently about God, or somebody changes our concept of who God is. And let me hear you say, God is. Sometimes people want to tell us that God isn't exactly who you think he is. He's actually more this. I mean, think about the rationale of it. Wouldn't it be easier if somebody did something wrong to you for you to just let them go away, or just let them go, just do their own thing? Because that way you wouldn't feel the pain of something. And so when you do this and you're causing God pain, he doesn't love you as much as you think he does. But the very moment that is said, that God doesn't love you, you're taking out love from God, and you're not talking about my God. You are not talking about my God, because God is love. The very essence of God is love. What does that mean for us today? From the very beginning, God wanted to be with us. How do I know that? Because he loved us. That's how I know it. I'm not a parent. I'm not even married. But I could imagine that if there was a married couple, and I know that there are a lot of married couples here today, that if there was a married couple, they would plan to have a child so that they could express their love to the child. And in no step of the equation would love be taken out of the problem, of the situation, because it's the reason of love why they're together. It's the reason of love why they plan to have a child. It's the reason of love why they give everything they have for the betterment of the child. And it is the same way, if not more, with God, because he would give, has given, and will continue to give everything because God is love. And even when the Israelites left, even when they went astray, even after the Exodus, even after the separation of the Israelites and Judah throughout all of history, God never stopped loving. And we're told by the prophet Isaiah, if you turn your Bibles to Isaiah 7, I love it. Isaiah 7, verse 14. I believe it's, yes. All right, then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. The plan never changed. The plan never changed. It was adapted, but it never changed. Because even when we strayed from God, his goal from the very beginning was to be with us. plain and simple. Plain and simple for the sole purpose of being in a loving relationship with us. Because God is... And so even when we strayed from him, he showed us through the prophet Isaiah that the plan was still to be with us. And if nothing else reminds his children of why he did what he did, then I'm going to let them know. Every time that they say the name Jesus, they're saying the promise, they're saying the command that was given, that God will be with us. Will be with us. God with us is what Emmanuel means. God has been with us. God is with us currently. And God will be with us forever. Because that's what he wants. That's what he's wanted from the very beginning. To show his children how much he loves us. No greater gift. No greater gift has ever been given. And the gift, every time we say his name, is just reminded to us day after day, moment after moment, second after second. Every time we say, "Dear Jesus," I think so many times we use Jesus' name and we say, "Oh Jesus this, oh Jesus that, oh dear Jesus, I pray, oh Jesus." And very seldom do we think about what his name means. And if we would stop and just simply think of what we actually just said before we even started our prayer, we were given the assurance, "Dear Jesus," let me change that. "Dear God with us," wow. Wow. He is with me. That's why I'm able to talk to him, because he is with me. Even though I can't see him, I know that he is with me. And even when Jesus himself was on the cross paying that ultimate sacrifice and felt as though God had abandoned him, he held on to the assurance. He knew, even though he felt something different, he knew that God was still with him, which is why he was able to say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." With the amount of guilt and pain on him from all the world, taking that upon himself so that he could come down like a little stink bug and live a stink-free life. To show each and every one of us that, yes, your Creator loves you so much that he would come down as a stink bug, live in the mess with you, never give off any stink, but on the contrary, take all of your stink upon him to a point where he felt eternally separated from the person, from this Trinity, from this being, from his very essence. The feeling that he felt when he was on the cross was this feeling of eternal damnation, of eternal separation, because there is nothing worse than to be separated from the love of God. There is nothing worse than to be separated from God. And when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was because at that very point, the God of our universe, our Creator, felt the amount of sin on him of everyone. 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 And I don't know about you, but I can't even bear my own sins. One of them, not even two of them, much less three, and then I'm in the hospital. But to bear the burden of everyone? It's no wonder he felt separated from God, but yet he still knew that his God was with him, because that's what his name meant. God with us. Nothing could change that. It was a plan from the beginning. It was a plan in the middle. It will be the plan at the end of the day. Because regardless of what the enemy wants to tell you, regardless of how he wants to twist the character of God, nothing changes the fact that God is love. Nothing changes that fact. And if God is love, and he created you out of love, then there is nothing he will not do to save you from yourself. Nothing he will not do. When we talk about the season of love, it's a remembrance to us all that Christmas, yes, is a time of joy. Because the promise that Emmanuel would come down and be one of us and show us how to live and remind us that God still loves us regardless of what we did, regardless of what we are doing, regardless of what we will do. His love for us never changes. It is a promise that God loves us. It is a season of love. Because our Creator, our God, our Heavenly Father loves us with a love that cannot